Hello, everybody. Welcome to the GG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
I am good. I am alive. It was a long day.
Have a fun trip.
Yeah, the trip was great. Going back to work today sucked, but, you know. what was not so fun about the trip, though, was my flight home was literally delayed 3 hours, so a lot of time sitting at DFW, which was not so fun, but...
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but at least I had people to do it with, so I wasn't by myself, which would have been a lot worse. But so, what were you up to this weekend?
What the heck did I do? Well, I played Magic on Friday.
Nice.
I did that. Saturday, what did I do Saturday? I don't even remember what I did Saturday. And then yesterday, I went out to eat.
There you go.
So I didn't do a ton. Stayed at home most of the time. Was waiting the set that we're talking about today to release.
Because I was hell like, yeah. Come on. Play some Magic.
Yep. So first up, before we get into our topic here, we want a couple ways you can support us. First way is using our TCG Player affiliate link. You'll find that in the show notes and on mtgplace.net. It's just a link that you click. It'll go to you to the normal TCG Player website. But let's TCG Player know that we're the ones that sent you over. So any part of your purchase will kick back to us. And, so it will help support the podcast and us creating content. Second way you could do so is by signing up for Patreon. And you can support us directly over there. You get access in the Discord role. So you can talk to us pretty much anytime you want. In there, you can play some Commander games with us. And you can, you know, get some of my draft videos early and stuff like that. And we appreciate everyone who does that. You can also sign up for that right through the Discord by the server subscriptions page. So you do that as well.
Awesome. We appreciate any kind of support, obviously, since we do work full-time jobs and all that outside of this. So, yeah, it's nice to, you know. Nova supported for this.
So, set we're talking about today is Shadows of Innistrad Remastered, which is an arena-only set. It is Shadows of Innistrad cards, Eldritch Moon cards, and some Shadows of the Past cards. So it's kind of like doing the... going back and drafting those two sets as if they were together in one. On Arena, and it also adds a lot of Pioneer cards to Arena. I think someone said quoted there's about 95% of the Pioneer cards in Arena now after this set, so we're getting closer and closer to having full Pioneer in Arena, and hopefully they continue this trend and start going towards Modern, and then after that...
God, imagine Modern in Arena. Oh,
yeah, that would be sweet.
That'd be amazing. I would play Modern again, like, legitimately. I haven't played Modern in a long time.
So today we're going to, because it's mostly just draft on there for Shadows of Innistrad, we're going to talk about the draft overview, some of the archetypes, and some of the mechanics in the set. So some of the returning mechanics, you might remember them from Shadows of Innistrad, but we got Delirium, which is if you have four more different card types, you trigger the ability. So you have four different card types in your graveyard. Madness is back, which is if you discard it, you can cast it for its madness cost, and you could do that at an instant speed whenever you discard it. So you need to watch out in this set. You can actually play creatures that like at instant speed on opponent's turn.
Madness is a really good mechanic. It can be really powerful.
Investigate is back. It's where you make clue tokens.
Yep, draw cards.
And then Emerge, which I think is an arena-only mechanic, because I don't remember this in the original set, but it could have been. I don't remember.
I don't remember it.
But it's you can cast it for its Emerge cost, where you pay that mana cost minus the mana cost of whatever creature you sacrifice. So if you sacrifice a 4 CMC creature, you only have to pay 2 if the Emerge cost is 6.
Yeah.
All right, you want to talk about some of the good commons you want to watch out for in the remastered drafts?
Yeah, so we'll start with white here, since we kind of usually go in the typical Magic the Gathering Wooburg order. So first of all, we got Bound by Moonsilver. It is an enchantment aura that costs 2 and a white, and it's an enchant creature. Enchanted creature can't attack, block, or transform. Sacrifice another permanent. Attach Bound by Moonsilver to target creature. Activate only as a sorcery, and only once each turn.
Yeah, so this is premium removal.
Pretty good, yeah.
And actually, in the original set, it was an uncommon, but they made it a common now for this remastered set.
So yeah, you have an even better chance of pulling it, which, yeah, this is really nice removal, spot removal spell. The fact that they can't transform, too, which is a big fucking deal in this set, because usually that would kind of be a way to get around it. But yeah, so yeah, a really, really good spot removal card.
Yeah, plus, you know, later if they play something worse, you can sacrifice a permit to move it over to that. So.
Right, yeah, which that's really good too. So it's just got longevity.
Another good common for mono white is Dauntless Cathar. It's 2 and a white for a 3/2 soldier, and you can exile it from your graveyard to make a spirit token.
Yeah, just the in draft being able to have like a card do multiple things, like put multiple creatures basically on the field. That's really, really good. Usually,
yeah,
kind of makes it more sticky, if you will.
Yeah, anytime you can get like a 2-for-1, that helps you. So like, yeah, you got a 3/2, you could block kill something, and then make a 1/1 that could maybe block kill something, or at least, you know, chump block some damage
or do damage. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's really good. We also got Angelic Purge. It's a sorcery, costs 2 and a white. As an additional cost to the spell, sacrifice a permanent. Exile target artifact, creature, or enchantment. So this is, you know, yet another one of your kind of magic number 3. 3 is usually really good for removal. And, you know, it's just another way to get rid of something that's bothersome. Removal's always really good in a draft.
Yeah, and then the last... good white card you want to watch out for is Drog Skull Shieldmate. It's 2 and a white for a 2/3 Spirit Soldier with Flash. When it enters the battlefield, all of your other creatures get +0/+1, so you can use this as a defensive combat trick.
That's really good.
And it used to be an uncommon in Eldritch Moon, but now it's, you know, a common, so it's going to pop up a lot more.
I mean, like, +0/+1 might not sound like that much, but when it's, like, globally hitting your entire field, especially
+0/+1. But still,
yeah, +0/+1, yeah.
Yeah, still good for blocking, because it's like, oh, I have, you know, a bunch of 2/2s against your 2/2s. Instead of trading, my guy's going to live.
Exactly, and you can probably, you know, possibly wipe out some of their stuff, and then you still have a field, which is, in draft, that's huge. That's a big deal. God, this card. Moving on to blue. This is a good card in Commander as well, by the way. That's not really what we're talking about. But Imprisoned in the Moon, it is 2 and a blue for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature, land, or planeswalker. Enchanted permanent is a colorless land with tap, add a waste, and loses all other card types and abilities. This is really powerful, because you literally take probably their best thing on the field and just make it a completely useless, like, wasteland.
Yeah, I believe this was might have been a rare in the original set.
I believe it was, yeah.
Now it's a common in this.
It so should be a rare, because it's blue's, freaking good.
Blue's best removal spell, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And
like, it just makes it into a land.
And, of course, by the way, this is amazing in Commander, because you play this on their Commander.
Right.
Oops. that's a shame.
Next up, you got the Ingenious Scab. If it's very good in the red-blue archetype, because it's 2 and a blue for a 2/3 with prowess, and has pay a blue, it gets +1/-1 until end of turn. But it's also good because you can. It's hard to block, because even without any prowess triggers, you could buff it up to like a 5/1.
Yeah.
Or 4/1.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah. It's a lot of power for a 3-drop.
Yeah, that's really good. That's almost like getting into like Delver level, pretty much. So yeah, that's pretty legit. Next, we got Drowneared Explorers. It is 3 and a blue for a 2/4 human wizard creature. And it says, and it has, when Drowneared Explorers enters the battlefield, investigate. So this is really good, because not only are you getting a creature on the field, you're also being able to draw a card.
Yeah, you get the clue token, which you can sack to draw. It's very good in the investigate deck. Like, that's one of the archetypes. Yep. So you make a bunch of clues tokens and sacrifice them to get counters and stuff. It's also a card that once it enters a battlefield, you already have its effect. So you could just sack it to like an emerge effect, you know, yep. or some other sack outlet if you don't need it anymore. So it's decent there.
For sure, yeah.
And then the last blue card is technically a colorless card, but the emerge cost is blue. It's 7 colorless for a 3/4 flyer with emerge for 5 and a blue. And when you cast this spell, you draw a card. So it's good with the emerge because, like I said, if you say you played that other guy, you could sack him and then just pay 2 more mana to get to trade in your 2/4 for a 3/4 flying draw card.
Yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah, obviously probably not going to play this for its CMC or its Banacost because that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, unless you really just need a flying blocker.
Unless you're like desperate, yeah. This is purely for the emerge, for sure. But that can be really strong. Because, yeah, like you said, like trading in like, you know, a weaker creature for a 3/4 flyer that draws you a card as well, like that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I could see that being played, you know, in the blue-green deck or the blue-red could even work, but then the blue-white flyers deck as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Next we got black. So the first one we got for black is Geese's Binding. It is 2 black-black for a sorcery. It has a create 2/2/2 black zombie creature tokens, and it has madness 2 and a black. So obviously this is good just because it's a one. It's a basically a 2-for-1, if you will. One card gives you multiple things, like as we said earlier. That's really good, and it does also have the madness. So if you do happen to find a way to discard it, then it's, you know, 3 for 2/2 tokens, which is pretty legit.
Yeah, so I think this is probably like a C card in like the average just black deck, right? Where
yeah.
it's 4 for 2/2, so it's like 2 for 2/2, which is a good rate. You know, it's an average rate.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But if you can have a discard outlet in the Madness deck or even in your other black deck, if you have a way to discard it, and you play it for 3, that's crazy. And you could do that at instant speed then. So yep. you could discard it out and put it through around 2 blockers instead of playing it at sorcery speed, which is nuts.
And black has a lot of ways to like make you discard too, so it's not hard to play into it.
Next up to probably the best black removal spell in the set. It's 1 for Deadweight. It's enchanted creature. It's -2/-2. It's great because it's an enchantment that gives -2/-2 permanently, so you can play it on a big dude and it makes it weaker. You can trade up. You can play it on a 2 or less and it just kills it. And it's an enchantment and not like it is a sorcery, so it's another card type for your Delirium decks.
Yep, exactly. 1 for 2 damage is that it's literally like a shock. Like that's awesome. That's very good. Next up you get Olivia's Dragoon. It is 1 and a black for a 2/2 vampire berserker creature. It has discard a card. See, there's your discard outlet right there. Discard a card, Olivia's Dragoon gains flying until end of turn.
Yeah, so this is your
good
discard
stats.
Outlet.
As good stats. And then you can literally give it keywords if you discard cards, which if you're playing into Madness, you want to do that. So, yeah, this is really good.
Yeah, it enables all your Madness cards and save, you know, you just need to get something in. You need a flyer to, you know, get around their blockers. You could just pitch extra lands you draw to make it fly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last black card we got is Gavni and Hollowed. It's 3 and a black for a 2/4 zombie that whenever another creature you control dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So 4 for a 2/4 is a little bit below the average rate, but if you can get at least one counter on it to make it a 3/5, you're happy with that already because then it becomes a very good blocker.
Yeah, it's got a big butt. That's definitely what you want. The bigger the blocker, the better, because, yeah, it's once you get to, like, that 5 toughness, it becomes very hard to deal with.
Yeah, because then they're going to have to block with, like, 2 dudes probably to trade it off, or you're going to be able to block, like, their best creature every time and just bounce off. So
yeah, well, that's what you want, for sure. Or like, you're forcing them to use removal on it, which is also what you want. Like if you're real happy if they use their removal on this card instead of like, you know, something like your bomb or something. Like, this is just a blocker. So Next we got red. So our first red card is Incendiary Flow. It is one and a red for a sorcery. Incendiary Flow deals 3 damage to any target. If a creature dealt damage this way would die this turn, exile it instead. So it's like a bolt, but you have to pay a little bit more. But exiling it is very good for that cost. It gets rid of something that's probably more troublesome.
Yeah, and the exile clause is actually really good in this set because there's a lot of cards with dies triggers in this. Like when it dies, make a treasure or make a clue or whatever.
Right.
Or like when a creature dies, put a 1/1 counter on this. Like, well, that won't trigger then because you're exiling it. Or there's a lot of graveyard bring back in the black green decks, so you can like exile it and they won't be able to get it back. And there's a stat here, I don't know if this is right, but it says 114 of the 154 creatures have 3 or less toughness, so this could actually kill 70% of the creatures.
Right, that's a very pretty good odds. Yeah. Definitely good.
Next up we got Galvanic Bombardment, which this card was super good. I drafted it earlier. It's 1 red for an instant. It deals X damage to a creature where X is 2 plus the number of Galvanic Bombardments in your graveyard. So this starts out as a shock, and the more of these you play in your deck, the better it gets. Like, then it becomes a bolt. Then it becomes insane, 4 damage. And then
better than a bolt. Imagine that. Yeah. Better than a bolt. What?
Yeah. Like if you draft 3 of these, that means your third one is better than a lightning bolt. So
yeah, which is just
if you get 2, it's fantastic because you have a shock and a bolt then.
Yeah. Shock and bolt, right. That's very good.
Just 1, it's okay because it's just shock, but it's still good. Because it still gets rid of probably the same amount of stuff Deadweight would because it does 2 damage. So.
Shock's still a fine card for sure. Yeah. That's why it's played in Modern and a lot of other stuff. So, yeah.
The only downside is it has to hit a creature. You can't hit a player, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's good removal.
A lot of times you're probably trying to do spot removal anyway, so obviously if you're playing Burn, you do want to hit their face, but... This is definitely good for clearing out stuff, though.
Yeah, and that's the one card where every single one you see, you're just gonna draft it, like because the more copies, the better.
You want as many as you can get.
It's not like it ever goes worse. It just gets better.
No, exactly. Next up, we got a Howlpack Wolf. It is 2 and a red for a 3/3 wolf creature. Howlpack Wolf can't block unless you control another wolf or werewolf. So this is, it's just literally a good static card. It's 3 for a 3/3, which is, very decent. And then, honestly, if you're playing this in red, you usually don't care if it can't block because you're usually just trying to be aggro anyway. Generally, at least.
Yeah, it 3 for 3/3 is a decent stat, but it's very good if you can get 2 of them on the board. Because then they can attack together. They're both wolves, and it's good in the green red werewolf deck because 3 for a 3/3 is pretty good value. Mm-hmm.
If you get 2 of them, that's 6 damage. That's a lot of damage.
Yeah, so like if you can get more than one of these and you're in the wolf deck, it's great. Or if you're in a red aggro deck, it's great. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a good card, but it's pretty good actually. At least it was very good in the previous Shadows of Rainstrad.
So. Right.
And the last thing we got here for red is the Conduit of Storms. It's 2 and a red for a 2/3 werewolf horror. When you run attacks, you add a red at the beginning of your next main phase, and you can pay 5 mana, 3 red to transform it into a 5/4 that when it attacks, you get 2 waste at the beginning of your next
main phase. A lot of mana generation if you ever have the right deck for it.
Yeah, so that's good because it's 3 for a 2/3 gets you a mana the next turn and when you attack with it next one, and then if you have mana extra mana later, you just flip it into a bigger 5/4.
Yeah, you're literally like basically saving up to flip it, which is pretty legit. And then the other side, like 2 wastes, like that's a soul ring, like literally, like that's pretty good. So. Yeah, and 5/4 is just good power too. Like it's good stats. Next up we got green. First of all, we have Obsessive Skinner. It is 1 and a green for a 1/1 human creature or human rogue creature. When Obsessive Skinner enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, and then it also has Delirium. at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. So that's a lot of stuff right there. It might be two for a 1/1. You look at that at face value, like that's, you know, whatever. It's able to grant counters, which is very good. You're able to buff up your stuff, especially if you have the delirium going on.
Yeah, it's and I mean, at worst, if it's the only thing you play, you could put the 1/1 counter on itself, so it's 2 for a 2/2.
Yeah, which that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, in the delirium deck, this is an all star. Like I got two of these in the delirium deck I drafted earlier, and I'm at like 5 wins currently. Because like if you trigger that delirium, every single one of your opponent's turns, you're buffing your dude. Like,
yeah, that's really good. Like that snowballs quick. Yeah. There's not much they can do about it if you get it going.
Next up, we got the Rabid Bite. 1 and a green for target creature you control, deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. So you bite them. It's basically the best green removal spell you're going to get.
Yeah, it's really good. It only costs 2 as well, which is pretty cheap. And if you're playing a big green deck, you're almost guaranteed to kill their stuff, which is what you want. Next, we got Byway Courier. It is 2 and a green for a 3/2 human scout creature. When Byway Courier dies, investigate. So, again, really pretty good stats. Like 3/2 for 3 is pretty decent. And then the investigate is just really, really good. On top of
yeah, because you get the clue token when it dies, so you can always sack the clue to replace itself then.
Yeah.
So like it's almost, you know, 3 mana with dice draw. It's a little bit worse, because you have to pay the
but, 2 I mean, it's, back,
but it's still really good.
Still, like that's just fine.
Then the last green card is the Gnarl with Dryad. It's 1 for a 1/1 death touch, and if you have delirium, it gets +2/+2. This is actually insane in the delirium decks because it becomes a 1 mana 3/3 death toucher.
Yeah, that's like, really that's good. Crazy. Holy crap. That's a lot of people are going to have trouble dealing with this. Like, you literally need to have, like, a removal spell, probably, to deal with this. Because you don't want to. It can take out their best creature easy.
Right. Like worst case, you play it early, it's a 1/1 that it takes out their best creature. You play it late, it's a 3/3. You might be able to get some of their weaker dudes and then take out a better.
And creature. Then, like, a good creature, too. Or make them waste a removal or, you know, whatever.
All right, so moving on here, we got the Shazor Innistrad archetypes. So there wasn't signpost uncommons in one of the two sets. I don't remember if it was Shazor Innistrad or Eldritch Moon. One of the two is when they started doing it around that time, and so one has it, one doesn't. So the first archetype is Blue-White Flying Spirits. Some of the top cards are Apothecary Geist, Spectral Shepherd, and Nebelgast Herald. Those all have to do with, so one gains you 3 life, one returns a spirit, another one taps down stuff whenever you play a spirit. So that's like Spirit Tribal Blue-White Flying is the Blue-White yep. deck.
And honestly, like just in general, Blue-White Flyers in draft can just be really powerful on their own. Like that alone can win games. And then, yeah, with like the synergy on top of that, this can be a really powerful deck easily. The next one we got is Green White Humans Midrange. so this includes the Courageous Outrider, the Veteran Cathar, the Hamlet Captain. So basically, it's a midrange deck, so you're basically playing for either tempo or value. And then it does kind of general things like they basically give themselves stats or counters or the other one that lets you draw cards and basically find more gas, essentially.
Yeah.
So this is pretty much all about value and tempo and trying to keep ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you definitely don't want the humans tribal in there, though, to trigger a lot of them, like the one guy gets
for the Courageous Outrider to work, you definitely need it.
And if you hit one of the rares, like Sigarda or something, that just makes all of your humans go crazy.
Oh, God, so. Yeah. Yeah, then you may as well just have, like, you know, a chroma on the field at that point, practically.
Yeah, because the Sigarda so gives all of your humans hexproof, and you can make human tokens. Like, Sigarda's nuts. Then we got red-green wolves and werewolves. So some of the cards that you might see to go into that would be Urlex Kindred, Hollow Pack Resurgence, Moonlight Hunt. And it's basically just anything that helps werewolves. So like one of them is Trample, gives a werewolf indestructible. That Hollow Pack Resurgence is actually better than you might think because it's a flash enchantment that buffs all of your
That's wolves really
and werewolves plus some spawn Trample. And then the Moonlight Hunt, all of your wolves deal damage to a target creature you control, so they all can combine together to kill something.
Yep. Tends to be more aggro, too, so that's kind of what you want. Which aggro decks and drafts can be very, very, very good, generally. They can win a lot of games. next up, we have blue-black zombies. So synergies including this would be Compelling Deterrence, Drawnout, Corpse Trawler, or Graph Harvest. So this is generally going to be obviously kind of like a zombie tribal. Generally have to do with either making creatures, sacking creatures to, like, you know, for some kind of gain, either buffing or letting you, you know, trigger madness or many different things. Generally, it tends to be a cheaper deck because zombies are usually more of a cheap end on the curve. So it can be aggro-ish, which, again, can be very good as well.
Yeah, and one of the ways you can win the game with this deck, other than rares, is if you get, like, Rise from the Tide, which makes a ton of zombie tokens.
Yeah.
That can help you.
Yeah, zombies like to flood the board, usually, so.
Yeah. Next up, we got the blue-red Instants and Sorceries deck, so Spells Matters deck. There's the Miracle Geist, which is a red-blue card that gives you +3/+0 whenever you play Instant Sorcery. There's the Thermal Alchemist, which taps, deals a damage, and then untaps when you cast an Instant Sorcery spell. This card used to be a common. They actually moved it up to uncommon, so it's a little bit harder to get that card, but that card is another reason why you might play this deck. Or the Pyre Hound, which is 4/2/3 trample, that when you cast an Instant Sorcery, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So you're probably going to want, like, you know, 9-10 creatures in this deck, and the rest spells, so you're going to be spell-heavy in this type of deck. And hopefully most of your creatures are these kind of creatures that get buffed when you play spells.
Yep. You just got to be careful of kind of what you're pulling generally at that point. Because that can hurt you, but it can also be good. So, depends. Next up, we have the blue-green Investigate, or with a new mechanic, Emerge deck. So, cards that might be included in this could be Erdwall Illuminator, Ongoing Investigation, or Graph Mole. So these are going to be all cards that have to do with either letting you draw or getting the clue tokens. And then the more of those you get, the more you're able to draw. And then, of course, you got the payoffs like Ulfavold Mysteries or Daring Sloot. God, I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Yeah.
Then you're just able to basically go crazy and just, you know, win the game through what you're able to find. But there's also the Emerge trigger too that can also work with this deck as well.
Yeah, and just that Herbal Illuminator guy that lets you investigate twice the first time you investigate is insane.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, I get to draw two cards whenever I do this thing, like. I drafted this deck. It was pretty sweet. I think I went like 3-3, but I didn't have the best draft of it, but it's a pretty sweet deck. It can be good.
Yep, yeah. If you have the right cards, it can just go off.
Next up, we got Black-Red Madness, which I feel right now is probably one of the better decks because you got Call of the Bloodline, Stencia Masquerade, and Instangible Gorgers. So you can do Madness with Vampire as like a sub-theme. And you could discard, you know, vampires that have madness and play it. And then that Masquerade, you could discard that and play it at instant speed then too, which then puts 1/1 counters and deal damage. And that Call of the Bloodline lets you trigger madness on your turn and your opponent's turn because you can use it once each turn and discard a card and make it 1/1, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So then you get a 1/1 and can play your madness card.
Yep. So yeah, basically two double the value. And then next we got black green delirium. So cards that might be included in this could be Dusk Feaster, Mournwillow, or Deathcap Cultivator. So this is all about flooding your graveyard with different types of cards to trigger your delirium, and then basically, you know, either buffing your creatures, bringing stuff back from the graveyard, giving extra stats. Like, there's delirium can do so many things, and it can be really powerful. Like, Dead Weights works really well with this, just because it can, you know, as you said earlier, it creates an enchantment.
Yep.
But it's basically acts like a kill spell. So
yeah, some of the other cards that are insane with this deck, like, I'm currently have one of these decks going on Arena. This deck is probably like up there. This and the Madness deck are probably the top decks in my opinion. But the Grapple with the Past card is insane, because you can mill three cards and then you return a creature or land from your graveyard to your hand. So like you mill three cards. That if those are all different types, you already have three out of four of your delirium. And it's the easiest way to get a land in your graveyard then, because like a land is the hardest one to put in the graveyard.
Right, because there's no fetches in this, so that's kind of the only way to do it, really.
Otherwise, yeah, and then the Vessel's cool because it's an enchantment that you can just sack to like draw a new card, and you put the rest of the cards from the top four in the graveyard. So
yeah.
It's another one. And then same with the artifacts. Like, there's the Tyrion that sacks for mana. There's the... I actually like the Scarecrow better. It's like a 3/1/4 defender that you can sack for 2 basics. And that gets you an artifact and a creature with one card then.
Yeah, that's legit. So, and 2 basics, that's really good ramp, too.
Yeah, so, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's sick. You got the next one, I believe.
Oh, okay. Next up, we got black-white mid-range. So this is just a mid-range deck. There's not really a signpost for this other than Anguished Unmaking, which is probably one of the better removal spells that's been printed.
Like, ever? Yeah, it's really good.
It's uncommon in this, where it's instead of a rare. And it's just one white and a black to exile an online permanent. And then you have cards like the Haunted Dead, where it enters, you make a 1/1. And then you can pay 2 to bring it back to you to play and discard your cards. Or like the 3/1 lifelinker that you can exile from your graveyard to make spirit tokens. So you're just going to play like value cards like that, where like they enter, make a token, or they die, make a token, or you can exile from the graveyard to make tokens. So then you're using your cards more than once.
Yeah. Gotta love the, either the you know, basically stickiness or just, yeah, just... endurance. That's really, really good for draft. Because the more you're able to do that, the more likely you're going to win, basically. And then finally, the last one we got is just good old red-white aggro. Good old Boros. Hard to ignore that. So cards included in this could be something like Town Gossip Monger, Incited Rabble, or Ride Down. And generally it's just in the name. You just want cheap cards that either do damage or are just good for, you know, aggro attacking, have haste, you know, maybe have double strike, you know, anything like that. Just, they don't have to be big. They're like, you know, usually like 1/2/1 or something is usually just fine. And yeah, you just either want to just hit them with spells or hit them with creatures.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of those decks where your curve is going to be on the lower end. Like, you're going to want a lot of ones and twos and threes, and then a few, you know, 4, 5, 6 just for the top end finishers.
Just like a bomb or two to end the game with. Yeah, not hard to play. It's a pretty mindless deck. You just attack as much as you can.
Yeah, and so they have, what's interesting with this on Arena is they have 18 card slots that are going to rotate each week for the next 4 weeks. So this first week here is creature type terror. So there's a lot of creatures like angels and spirits and vampires and stuff that buffs humans and stuff that buffs wolves. So it's like it's incentivizing you to draft the tribal decks more because there's 18 spots that buff tribes, right? And then the next week is going to be the Fatal Flashback. So I'm assuming it's going to be some sort of flashback themed cards. We don't know what the cards are yet.
We'll find out.
And then the third week is Morbid and Massacre, so it's probably going to be like, or Morbid and Macabre, which so it's probably going to be like Death Triggers and Bring Stuff Back.
Yeah, and then Delirium. Yep.
Abominable All-Stars is probably going to be like the biggest, baddest cards that were in the set. Yep. So I guess
big
it's like,
bombs.
Like Gristle Daddy might be in there or something.
Oh
like,
my god,
knows?
Gristle
like,
Daddy. That's a card you don't see much anymore.
But so that's a very quick overview here we wanted to give you, make sure we got this out so that everybody had the information to go and draft Shadows Over Innistrad on Arena.
Yep, and we all know draft is like your favorite thing ever, so.
Yeah, I love draft.
Definitely want to get people drafting as much as possible, especially someone like me who is a little more inexperienced with it, so yeah, and especially Arena is one of the best ways to do it. You can literally do it anywhere. It's great. You can do it on your phone.
Yeah.
You can do it on your, you know, tablet. You know, you don't even have to be at home.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to significantly improve a draft is to just know the archetypes going into the draft. So, like, just listening to this, knowing the 10, or just Googling even, knowing, like, the 10 archetypes going into the draft, then you know the 10 decks, and you know what you should draft for. Because a lot of times if you draft a deck that's not in one of those 10 archetypes, it's not going to work out too well.
Yeah,
it can. It can.
Most time.
But most times not because their cards aren't going to synergize. It's just going to be like random good stuff.
It's just going to be more clunky. It might be more clunky, basically.
Right.
Which that can cost you games, you know, like if you're too slow. Like, because draft is all about being fast and being efficient and like using your resources as best as you can because it's very limited. It's only 40 cards. So there's only so much you're able to do with that.
Yeah, well, thanks everybody for listening. So till next time.
Have a good night, guys.